now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. From Class the Colts and the Cheese Between, the movies are beef. Darren Heyman is grade A. And I'm joined this time by my daughter, Haley.
Hi.
And we have our Halloween special for the Halloween that almost wasn't. And we'll get to it right after this.
Good evening.
Once upon a midnight dreary.
Halloween is in danger of disappearing forever.
Who could have thought it's such a rotten rumor?
You got it.
A certain witch was weak and weary.
I'm never going to ride over the moon again, never!
And so they all were gently rapping at her chamber door, quoth the narrator, nevermore. Join Judd Hirsch, Marriott Hartley, and other monsters for the Halloween that almost wasn't.
The Halloween that almost wasn't aired originally October 28, 1979, so celebrating its 45th anniversary on ABC. It had a 25-minute running time. Now, some of you might know this as The Halloween That Almost Wasn't, which is what I remember it as, but Haley, you know it more as what?
The Night Dracula Saved the World.
Yeah, so that's... And it's been called a couple different things, so the thing is it was renamed that on VHS release, so... when we've seen this, and I saw it, I mean, I didn't see it in 1978 because I was only a couple months old, but I saw it later on when they replayed it, and I definitely saw it on Disney Channel and stuff. This is one of my favorite Halloween, this, which is Night Out, like, mm-hmm. These are some of my absolute favorite Halloween ones that Haley's now, grown up watching too. And this one actually is noted because it won an Emmy for Outstanding Individual Achievement for a Children's Program and was nominated for 3 other Emmys. It's obviously, this is not super serious. It's a comedy. It was directed by Bruce Bilson, and Bruce Bilson wound up winning. He worked on Get Smart. He was the director for the spoof Get Smart. He won Primetime Emmy Awards for director of a comedy series. For the 3rd season of Get Smart episode, Maxwell Smart Private Eye. And he would go on to do other stuff in TV. Your writers are Liz Argo and Coleman Jacoby. Your main star here is Judd Hirsch. Judd Hirsch is right off coming, he's in Taxi and stuff like that. Many people knew Judd Hirsch as the comedian. Marriott Hartley plays the witch. Henry Gibson, Jack Riley, John Shook, and Robert Fitch are your other names here. and I mentioned Disney Channel, and that's probably where most of you've seen it, saw it on the Disney Channel in one of its replays, because they would Disney Channel actually would show this pretty much from 83 right through 1996. They showed it all the time. And now, pretty much the only place you can see this is on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or on Riff Tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, because it's just one of those things, I would love for this to get cleaned up in a special edition Blu-ray and the whole nine, right? So, yeah. All right. So, here we go. After hearing rumors that from a TV newscaster that Halloween may end, and this is being blamed on Count Dracula, he exclaims, "How dare they suggest such a thing? Halloween is my national holiday." Now, if you, one of those movies with, what's his face, where Adam Sandler plays Dracula, Hotel Transylvania, right? In all those movies, what is he? He does, I don't talk like these, right?
I don't say blah, blah, blah.
Right. That's what Judd Hirsch is doing here. Like, it literally, it's the stereotypical Dracula voice. Mm-hmm. He does it here, which is really funny. But it's again, it's Judd Hirsch. And at the time, kids knew who that was. And mostly adults definitely knew who it was. So, being a comedian. And he calls the world's most famous monsters Warren the Werewolf, which is Jack Riley, of Budapest, Frankenstein's Monster, which is John Shuck, Zabar the Zombie, which is Joseph Ehrlich of Haiti, and then the mummy from Egypt, and of course the witch to the castle for a meeting to make them frightening again. Dracula believes that the problem is that the monsters have exploited their monsterhood to a point that being funny rather than scary. For example, right, he says Frankenstein's monster let a film, quote unquote film, you might have heard my dad and I talk about here, influence him into tap dancing rather than frightening people. Haley, do you know what movie that is? What movie where is Frankenstein tap dancing? No?
No.
You don't know Young Frankenstein?
I've never seen
you that. No, stop. You have 100% that's putting on the Ritz.
Oh, right.
Oh, my God, because we don't know anything. Where am I? Where was I? Oh, yeah, that's right. So Haley didn't know that tap dancing. As it turns out, the rumor about the Halloween came to an end was started by the witch herself, who is sick of the jokes about how ugly she is. She no longer wishes to participate, and without her annual ride of the moon, there can be no Halloween. She has prepared a list of demands, which Dracula refuses to meet, so she rides off to her own castle. So, yeah, there's a lot of, it's like one-liners and jokes. This whole thing is just, like, you have to, it's things that are, like, you know, not double entendres, but, like, things that have altered meanings and stuff like that. It's important to make sure you're paying attention. For those of you who may have never seen this, literally, like, it's just joke after joke after joke. But it's not, they're not slapstick jokes the whole time. They're actually just worded jokes. Now, there is some slapstick jokes in there, right? What's the one that happens here? This is when they're all waiting for Dracula. And Igor says, I see him coming through the mist. And what happens?
He flies right into the door because Igor doesn't open it.
Right. He flies right into the big bay window. He slams directly into it, right? And he's like, you always open the door, right? It's like the joke that, you know, whatever. Dracula pursues the witch as a bat, but realizes that the sun is about to come up, and he goes back to his mausoleum, which, of course, that door wasn't open either.
Right.
And he goes, open at night, closed in the day, right, kind of thing. That next evening, the night before Halloween, he and the other monsters break into the witch's castle. They have her cornered, but she turns the painting of... Who's she turned the painting alive of? Of the what?
Oh,
Three Musketeers. Yes, right. Into her minions. After a brief chase scene, the musketeer-style fast motion, the witch is cornered in a room where Igor, which is Henry Gibson, has her broom. Dracula turns into what to sneak under the door?
A little itty-bitty.
A teeny-tiny bat, right?
Yeah.
Teeny-tiny bat to sneak under the door and get smashed by the witch. Comes back out. Then what happens? So we're going to send Igor out the window to what?
Go through the window into her room where she was hiding.
Which is good because they brought a grappling hook. Because if you don't have a grappling hook, it's hard. So he goes to swing through, and what happens? The window's open. He swings in and she opens the door and he swings out, crashing, knocking down the other monsters. Like I said, there is some slapstick, but it's not all slapstick. Swinging through the window with the Hunchback of Notre Dame style, only to have the witch open the door and he goes out the other side. It's one of those days where I wish, Dracula says, it's one of those days I wish I was dead and stayed dead. Although Dracula finally gives into the witch's demands, including randomly adding wishes for her to take her disco dancing every night, that becomes important later, she suddenly changes her mind and decides not to go along with it. Then, the pair of children from the very beginning, who were crying, and we learn the history of Halloween and stuff like that, who are watching New Kids, the event, appear outside the door dressed as a scarecrow, because that's scary, and a witch. They plead with her, telling her they love her the way she is. The witch is, of course, you know, opens the door, and the little girl is dressed just like her. She says, you look just like me. And she goes, you're my favorite. This is my favorite costume. It's because of you. And at this point, this is where you're like, okay, there's nothing super deep. There's no twist. We know what's happening here, right? Moved by the children, she decides to ride over the moon as promised. And again, if anyone's looking for like killer special effects, this was shot like very low budget. It's a TV special for kids. It's clearly someone in front of a painting. It's not a problem. The film concludes with the disco scene in which the witch transforms into a disco queen resembling the character Stephanie Monongo from the movie Saturday Night Fever by doing a Wonder Woman style spin. And Dracula, figuring he may as well go with the flow, rips off his cape to reveal his Tony Montana-esque leisure suit mimicked by John Travolta's character from the same movie. Obviously, tongue firmly planted in cheek. This is designed to be silly. It's a lot of fun. This is something we've watched every year. I've seen this thing scores of times. Haley's seen this dozens of times. Like I said, it was never released and on DVD or Blu-ray anywhere. The only time it actually was ever part of anything, Disney used to show Disney's Halloween Treat, which was a block of shows. Block of cartoons and shorts, which we've seen Disney's Halloween Treat. And they would have that on. Disney's Halloween Treat, and they would show it Halloween night. And this was always one of the parts of that. What else is in there is also Trick or Treat with Donald Duck and his nephews. Yep. You'd have other things in there, the Skeleton Dance and all those other ones that you would see Disney, they would show there. But it never got a Blu-ray release. And then there was... the problem was it was eventually released on VHS, is where the name was changed.
Right.
But then it never came out anywhere until a couple years ago in 2015, Riff Trax spoofed it. And that's the cleanest version it ever looked. They cleaned it all up and whatever. It's like, oh, that'd be great. And my hope was that, hey, it's Riff Trax. They sometimes work with Shout Factory. Maybe Shout Factory has the rights. And I was really hoping in this 45th anniversary year to get a copy of this cleaned up on Blu-ray because I would 100% purchase it, right? Part of the problem is we haven't heard that. And obviously it's time has come and gone. We would have heard that announcement far earlier than, you know, our recording of this, getting you guys ready for your Halloween episode. So, Haley, what do you think? I mean, this is one of those ones we watched every year, right?
I think this is definitely a movie like kids of all ages can watch and you can just sit together. Like if you had like popcorn or like a snack, you sit as a family and it's a really funny movie. It's not that long. And I think it's definitely one of my favorite Halloween traditions that we have.
Yeah. So just for those of you who want to go kind of local, this was shot at Lindenhurst Castle in Tarrytown, New York, not more than a 40-minute drive from where we're currently recording. It's kind of funny because nowadays you would never be able to shoot this anywhere in New York because the cost of everything is through the roof. But back in the day, you should shoot stuff in New York all the time. So, you know, do you remember this? Do you remember the VHS? Did you watch it on Disney Channel? It was 1979, so I was a year and a little bit, not a couple months. I was a year and a couple months, I should say, but I don't remember anything obviously from then. But the idea being is that, is this one of the ones that you remember from a kid? When we talked about Witch's Night Out last year, that's one of the ones I remember being a kid. I remember seeing Witch's Night Out on TV, Fat Albert Halloween on TV. I remember seeing, you know, it's not like Christmas time. You had Frosty and Rudolph and all those things every year on CBS, right? And the Rankin Bass stuff. This I remember. I remember seeing this. Maybe I saw it a couple times. I want to say, I know it was on Disney, but I want to say I saw it somewhere else too. It might have been we didn't have the VHS. I don't know, but I definitely saw it somewhere. It might have been one of those things that we recorded. Someone taped the Disney Halloween's Treat, and that's what I saw.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like Haley said, this is a tradition we have here. It's one of our movies we watch every year. It's hard because we try to watch, you know, new horror movies for Halloween, but then we got to get in the classics, right? We got to get in.
It's like during Christmas, you have to watch certain movies. Like even though a new Christmas movie may come out, you have to watch what you watch every year.
Yeah, like we have to watch Twas the Night Before Christmas. We have to watch Rudolph. We have to watch Frosty. We have to watch like, what was the other? Nightmare Before Christmas is one of the ones we watch kind of either Halloween or this. Kelly watches it all the time. But like Prep and Landing.
Yeah.
Right.
Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's an actual movie. These other ones I'm talking about are 25 minutes long. Yeah. Yeah. That's an actual movie. And then like now, like last year, Haley for the first time saw the Santa Claus. And then we had to watch the Santa Claus 2 and the Santa Claus. Like, so we had to watch all those because Haley had never seen them. It's just like when she first saw Hocus Pocus. Now, we don't watch Hocus Pocus every single year at Halloween like some people do. But when it's on, we watch it.
Right.
Right? So it's one of those things that becomes tradition. So as you're trying to shoehorn in all these new horror movies, then you're like, well, this seems a problem. So I still got to go through these. And it's not like we don't have anything else going on.
Right.
You know, because it's still, you know, wrapping up the it's still field hockey season. We still have work. We still have school, you know, kind of thing. So, but do you remember this, folks? Is this something that you remember seeing? We'd love to hear from you. Write in and we'll cut your feedback on the show. All right. Hale, anything else on this?
I think that's it.
I think we're pretty good. Again, if you haven't seen it, check it out on YouTube. You're definitely going to get it there for free. It's worth checking out. If you're going to go on YouTube and watch this anyway, also make sure to check out Witch's Night Out, which is also on YouTube for free, which is just awesome. Anyway, folks, so I want to thank everyone for the downloads and the listens. The support is really important here. Obviously, this is a labor of love, as we're not making any money doing it. We want to thank you all for your support. So like we say here at Bots, Bugs, and Babes, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo. Once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?